Good afternoon. We'll call the property committee to order on June 28th, 2023. Can we please take the roll?
Roll call, Director Sheldon.
Here.
Director Meeks. Director Bilodeau. Director Whitaker.
Here.
Director Bilodeau.
Here.
Director Amezcua. Director Nguyen. Director Tran. Director Rowe. Director Green. We do have a quorum of your committee.
Thank you very much.
Oh, yes.
Thank you very much. Bruce, do we have any items received too late for the agenda?
There are none.
Next is on our agenda is for visitor participation. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak to the board? And we'll look at our virtual. Okay, going once, twice, gone. We'll move on to our next item, which is the consent. Is there a motion on consent?
So moved.
Second. Okay. Motion by Director Yeo and second by Director Whitaker. Please take the vote in the roll.
Roll, Director Sheldon.
Yes.
Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
That's great. Let's move on to our informational items. First being the status update regarding the district's Imperial Highway property.
Yes. Thank you. Just want to give the committee an update. As committee will recall, we hired Jim Streeter to do some engineering studies and boundary studies at the Imperial Highway property. They are working on that. Currently, they recently finished doing an aerial survey and trying to tie it back to some of the title reports, some of which are very hard to read and illegible, but the first step before they go any further is to define the boundaries of the property and really try to ascertain who owns the piece of property that actually leads out to Imperial Highway. That's kind of key here. But legible title reports, not the title reports, the illegible, some of the deeds are really old and hard to read. And I'll just continue to bring an update at each property meeting. And that concludes my presentation on the Imperial Highway property.
When do you expect to have that concluded back with the title information?
I would expect to have the boundary survey back within the next 30 days. And then you'll recall, too, the committee will recall that part of the work, there's some other studies to be done, but part of the work then will be to meet Caltrans staff discuss the boundaries and pose access ideas with Caltrans as well as City of Anaheim. Right, but we haven't scheduled any of those yet.
Is civil engineering working with titleist applying the easements and
yes.
Their endorsements or not?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you will find ones that are under you,
yep.
That'll say in 1892, in the year of our Lord,
yes.
All in Hera. Pretty cool.
Yes. Yeah. And then that stone over there and under that tree, 30 yards.
Irrigation ditch that went right behind the barn.
Yep.
So good. So we'll get all that done. Yep. Thank you.
Yeah.
I look forward to having that.
That's informational.
Any other questions from the committee? Let's move on to our next item.
Next item is another informational item. This is a status update on the City of Anaheim's proposed Orange County Riverwalk project. And we do have JJ Jimenez and Mark Krebs. JJ is with the city and Mark is with Pace, as well as Mr. Bill Hunt is here in the room, also from Pace, and they will provide an update. I have a presentation that the city provided, and I'll pull that up.
Okay, so all right. Who's presenting?
It's JJ Javier from the city of Anaheim.
So Mr. Javier, I'm hoping you have a good report for our mayor of Santa Ana. She's been wondering about how that art is going to affect her city when the dam bursts.
We do, Chair, and thank you so much. It's actually JJ Jimenez. And Bruce, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to present an update. So why don't we just jump to slide two and really maybe even go a little bit of out of order to address the question. Let's go all the way to slide three to address the chair's question first, please.
You can go whatever you want. I was just having fun. You can go whatever route.
Oh, just, all right, let's fun Friday. all right, so why don't, then we'll go in order as depicted here in this slide. chair and director. So OC Riverwalk, the master plan, staff felt that it was necessary to provide directors an update as to where we are with the overall project. We're very happy to report that we're 90%+ complete. We're really down to the details now, ensuring that all the as-built information and parcel lines and ownerships are being reconciled with some of the assumptions that we're making on the master plan. And we expect to have that completed later this year. And as we have done up until now, we'll continue to work with your staff as necessary, to provide them updates and then get their input as they have a lot of the knowledge on the ground and, so things that are out there that belong to the water district, their infrastructure, and then where they need access. So all of that is being considered, not just for the water district, but other agencies that have interest, both in terms of land ownership and then of easements and infrastructure in this space. I'm going to move on to the MOU. I know a couple meetings ago, there was a clear direction from you, Chair, and others to move as fast as possible with developing an MOU to really outline our agencies, what the city needs from the water district and our responsibilities and how, and we heard you correctly, how we the city, we're going to ensure that that this project was going to be cost neutral to the water district. So those are the assumptions in addition to the deal points that we are moving forward with. Our city attorney has been hard at work, and we're happy to let you know that by the tail end of next week, we will be able to provide a draft MOU back to Bruce and John and other staff at the Water District to review. And then as we move forward with it, we hope to bring that to the committee here, if that's the desire. Moving on and continuing, percolation test. Again, staff at the Water District felt that it was important for us to provide an update on this item as well. Just want to let the chair and committee know that at this point in our master plan design, we have been utilizing published data, published percolation rates that have been taken through this space and up onto Ball Road and beyond. And those are the assumptions that the design team is using to craft the master plan design and the locations of the dams and make some assumptions about depths and reach. However, as we move forward into the next phase of design, we are going to be conducting additional testing as may be required to ensure that all of our proposed improvements are going to be correctly designed. Bruce, if you can actually go ahead and advance to slide 3. And just for context and to answer the question of the director in Santa Ana, we just wanted to show here that as this committee knows, there is existing impoundment infrastructure that is owned and operated, one over at Imperial and then the other one at Five Coves. Ours is the Riverwalk, it's a little bit farther south. Closer to the 5 freeway, adjacent to Arctic. The first property in the city limits with Santa Ana are about a mile south of our proposed improvements, and that is at the Riverview Golf Course. Yes, we are very happy to report that the design team has looked and reviewed any historical data, any published documents, rainfall rates, release rates from Prado Dam, and all the information. And we are confident in letting you know that the river as designed today can handle, it has ample capacity, and will not negatively affect either Riverview Golf Course or the city in Santa Ana in general, should there be a sudden release of water at our two proposed dams. We, of course, will let you know and advice that we understand that GWRS water is precious. It costs a lot of money to create and then clean up and send up and make it available for our impoundment. So our design is going to do everything that it can to never have this occur. It's in our best interest to never have, the impoundments go through a sudden release. But should that be the case, we can confirm that there will not be any negative effects in that as we move forward, and that is utilizing the current data that's available to us and to the design team. But as we move forward, we also want to let you know that, you know, entities, jurisdictional entities like the Army Corps of Engineers will require us to do computer modeling and a lot more details to ensure and provide with data to both here, the property committee and the jurisdictional entities that the no additional effects or negative effects will be provided or done, not just the city, to the city of Santa Ana, or but anything south of our proposed improvement. So with that team, that is our general update, a brief update, but we, Mark, Bill and I are Mark on the line or here virtually with on his office, and me and Bill in the room. We're ready to answer any questions that you may have on any of these points or anything else that you may want to know about OC Riverwalk.
Questions from the committee? I have a couple questions. On the Santa Ana issue, would you, you mentioned doing the graphic images and exhibit for the court. Would you be able to do up an exhibit that shows when you encounter homes along that portion of the Santa River, just kind of what is the, what height of the water would be at a high storm and what height they would be with when this, if these rubber dams were to burst and was coming down. I could see it, you know, sheet spreading out. And I don't imagine a problem, but I just think one or two exhibits that show what level it would be would probably be really helpful. Pictures worth 1,000 words, if that shouldn't be too hard to have your consultant put together.
Absolutely, Chair. We can absolutely do that. We're noting that, and then to the best that data is available, we can show that visually to provide back feedback. No problem.
Thank you, City of Santa Ana. We appreciate that. And what methodology do you expect to do with the percolation? And let me just take a step back. I certainly agree that you can do historic samplings in the area if your consultants believe those are of like kind that's been done before. But what I know you're going to, you said you're going to do some on-site. What's the methodology of how you're going to do this?
Chair, Bill is in the room and he's an expert. As you know, he used to operate the dams just north of here, and he can provide more details on that if you allow me, Bill.
Thank you.
Okay, JJ.
I know you're here. Scared me.
I'm kidding.
Hey, Bill, please.
Well, there's a couple ways to approach that question. One is by direct measurement, and the other way is using an analytical approach where you would do groundwater modeling and do a computer simulation of what the percolation rates might be and what how that water was spread away from the site. With regard to the direct measurement, there's two ways to do it. The one way is like you did up in Anaheim on those new basins where you had that, La Jolla, I believe, where you build a box and you put water under the ground and you measure its percolation rate directly. We talked about doing that initially here with a consultant, the same guy that did it up there. And we all came to the conclusion that that probably wouldn't work here, because what we really need is a sustained percolation rate. The instantaneous rate would be high in the sandy soil, but what counts is what a sustained percolation rate would be after weeks, months, even a year. That's the number that counts, because it'll reach a kind of an equilibrium pretty quick, and that will be the rate that you feed the reservoir. We think it's going to be about a foot a day, and to start with, based on direct measurements that go on all the time between Imperial and Ball Road. So the operators up at the river know with good confidence what the kind of the average percolation rate is in that stretch of the river, and it comes out to about a foot a day. We think this part of this reach of the river is even tighter than it is further north. So it'll probably be, you know, a foot, maybe even less. But in our design, we designed it for four times that. We designed it, the turnout to accommodate 4 feet a day, which is like 36 MGD. So we're pretty confident that the civil engineering design we have is going to be adequate regardless of the rate of percolation. But that's still an important question. It might be worthwhile to get an answer to how to get that. So when I was here last time, I pulled Roy Herndon aside and asked him about the modeling that his department did with Director Lee. And they modeled, Jason may be able to help with this, the groundwater, you know, migration rates out of the Santa Ana River adjacent to Burris, which is pretty close to here. So we have that. So we're not starting from zero. But when I asked Roy about, you know, the how rigorous that study was, he said, well, you know, might be right, might be a little bit off because it's a computer simulation. He thought the best way to do it would be just directly measure it by a second approach, which if you want to advance, I can show you a slide of what that looks like, Bruce. Just forward until I say stop. We have backup slides here. Keep going.
Easy questions, right?
Keep going. That was, okay, there it is. Back up. Nope, back up or go forward. Sorry. That was, okay, see, that was originally what we talked about doing, where we built a sand berm at the bottom of a test area. And that's right above where the Collins Channel comes into the river, right near the Arctic. And, you know, that red dam there would be a sand built impoundment, much like the TNL levees that are out there now. And up at the top, we have like a funnel and gate system up there where you funnel the natural flows coming down the Santa Ana River through a measurement facility where you measure the flow and then you measure it as it goes out. And the difference is the percolating water. And you could run this for a long time and get really good data on river water. And now that water is not as clean as GWRS water, but it would give you something. It would give you the geology, perhaps. What, you know, the hydrogeological escape rate is, or whatever, how you want to term it. So
you wouldn't use portable water?
We could. I mean, we could do it. That portable water would be cleaner, but it would take a lot. You'd have to tie into a nearby fire hydrant and or tap into the GWRS line to get adequate, you know, water to run for a long time. So it's doable, but it wouldn't be easy and it wouldn't be inexpensive.
How big is that?
Well, that could be any size you want, but it's 300 feet across and the length, it depends on how high you build the dam.
Is that an acre?
At least.
Yeah, it seems like a lot.
It is a lot.
Okay, I appreciate
it. So anyway, this all can be done. It isn't necessary from the timeline to do it right now for the purposes of the project, but we can either wait till it starts raining again and do that, or we can do something else if you really would feel more comfortable having a number.
Do you know if Orange County Water District ever ran similar tests on Ballroom Basin? I know we determined it didn't really percolate water, but did we ever run tests on it?
Not to my knowledge. That would be a good Roy question.
Yeah, I don't believe so. That's right. Yeah, maybe there's good to start. So really it's about, what would even be the worst case scenario, just based upon your analysis of the existing historic data?
With regard to capacity or how much water this would take?
What would be the percolation?
Well, I think 1 foot a day is pretty reasonable estimate. But it might be more than that, might be less than that.
I think
so. That comes out to 12 MGD.
It is a lot of work. I understand. Seeing that, so let's see if the historic data can perhaps address these questions.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve. So I'm thinking that all this information that we're trying to gather here eventually will be the various factors that will be used to determine how much we're going to build Anaheim, right? Or how much water is getting into the pond? Because we're trying to figure out how much is going into the ground, how much is coming from the river and escaping, evaporation rate, all of that. So, we still got some work to do, right? We're not at the point of we're negotiating with the city. The cost of the GWRS is what they would be paying for, not at a discount, right? But it's how much is actually going in there and how much we're recapturing, right? We're talking about here potentially, we determine what the equation is and how much we're going to be billing the city for. Thank you.
And that'll be laid out in this draft term sheet, if you will, that we're working on with the city, what the deal points are. One of the big concerns we had is as has been discussed, if there's water impounded behind those dams and all of a sudden they collapse for whatever reason and that water is lost, we know what volume that water would be, and we would expect the city to compensate us for that water, that lost water. I think the concept, though, however, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that in the impounding of the water, we're percolating, we're recharging that water. So there really would be no cost to the city.
What about evaporation?
Normally, the evaporation would probably be minimal because we're talking about a fairly shallow depth and a fairly good rate of percolation. So I would expect that would be negligible.
Okay, there may still be a cost to the city for the water, but that kind of remains to be seen. But
yes.
I kicked off this percolation questions, and sometimes when you order something up, it gets bigger and bigger than what you maybe thought in the first place. So let's take a look, and I don't want to, we know at the end of the day, it's going to be between 1 foot and 4 feet or something that we sort of know. And then, I was hoping the answers would be easier to get than what they really are, but what they are. So let's look at the historic data and whatever else we can do and kind of sit back and see if that's good.
Thank you, Chair, and other directors for these questions, and noted, and we'll continue to work with your staff to figure out what the best method is and continue to update you. Chair, if time allows, slide 5 does provide that visual answer that you spoke about for the city of Santa Ana. And if time allows, I would ask Mark to just talk about it or to go over it slightly.
Which slide is that? I'm sorry, slide 5 regarding
right,
what?
Slide 5. Keep going right there. That's it. Go ahead, Mark.
So, Director Sheldon, you asked the question, with the sudden release of the impoundment, what's sort of the depth of that flow, and that flow rate is roughly 1200 CFS, somewhere between 1000 and 2000 CFS cubic feet per second, and that represents about a 2 foot depth of water across the bottom of the river. And that's what this graph shows. The river's designed for not 2000 CFS, but it's designed for about 42,000 CFS. So a much larger flow rate. So this is just a very small depth of water flow in the bottom of the river versus the 100-year design capacity, the flood capacity is that line all the way, the vertical line all the way to the right, where the flow depth is over 14 feet. So there's tremendous capacity. The dam release would be a foot or two adjacent to any, it'd be in the bottom of the river, no homes anywhere near it. It's not impactful, for any roads or people, or it's flowing in the bottom of the river.
How long would it take for that additional water to pass through that area? I mean, this could be a 15 minute type of occurrence, or is it a 6 hour type of occurrence? What would be the time frame for
the water to pass through? The lowering of the impoundment, takes probably about 30 minutes itself, right? To go from, it's not a explosion, right? It's not a balloon at all. We think of it as a rubber dam, but your car tire has like 30 PSI.
Right.
Well, this impoundment only has probably 2.5 to 3 PSI. So it's a very slow release of air. It's a large volume, low pressure. And it takes roughly about 30 minutes. And then, for the movement of that wave of water, probably another 30 minutes to cross the path of, going downstream a mile. There'll also be a lot of attenuation of that flow rate as the flow spreads out and the volume, is taken up within the bottom of the riverbed. So it's a very, very minor hydraulic event in a very major river corridor. So, you know, the velocities are low, shear stresses are very low. So that's really what we're trying to show here. Even the 2-year event, you know, which statistically has a 50% annual probability, that flow rate is 5,000 CFS. So, you know, two to four times higher than whatever this instantaneous dam release would be.
Thank you for the information. Mike Marcus has a question.
Yeah, thank you. I think the bigger impact would actually be to the Riverview Gulf.
That's what I was going to.
Yeah, as opposed to the houses up above and the depth of the water in the channel, because as has been stated, the depth is going to be fairly small and it's going to dissipate rather quickly. But if there are impacts to Riverview, because that golf course is literally in the bottom of the riverbed, if you weren't aware of that, they could make a claim, the golf course, that somehow we impacted, or this water release impacted their operation.
So two questions up. Is that Riverview of the same width as your exhibit 5 here?
Yes. Yes.
Riverview is the standard, regular center. Okay. And then does anyone know that when the golf course operator obtained their lease, they had their releases were secured, if that happens to that part of their golf course when it's along the river? I would think the county or someone that gave them the lease might have procured that release.
We'll have to look at that, Chair Sheldon. I think probably, though, because we're impounding this water kind of on purpose, that if there were a release, that would be kind of uncommon, because during the summertime, particularly, there's no water in the river. In fact, right now, there's about 80 CFS in the river, and the river dries up before it even hits the Five Coves rubber dam.
We should look at there, but we don't probably expect a release from the dam during the summer because
there's no water.
Right. We could just get a copy of their lease.
But during the summer, I guess my point is we're artificially creating this body of water by taking GWS water. Having an impound.
There's no storm event at that time.
Right. So.
But it's unlikely that it'd be released because there's no storm going on.
Understood. But the whole thing is if there was something went wrong.
Okay.
Right. And the dam's deflated, let's say, or. Yeah, and the water started flowing downstream. Not only are we losing that GWS water, but there could be a potential that we're incurring some sort of liability if it impacts the golf course operator downstream of those rubber.
We want to ask Jeremy to coordinate with Anaheim City Attorney on what that agreement
Or maybe we incorporate that in the terms, and we say if this happens, yeah, then we're not, you know,
we're notified. Any other questions? I'm sorry, I enjoyed over.
We can also ask JJ. We can get a copy of that piece.
No, I had a coupler.
Well, I just wanted to make the point that the operators will have a lot of control over that sudden release too. Normally, they occur when it's a big, really stormy day. On a day like that, the golf course would be already flooded. But another consideration is the time of release. You have two dams, not one. So you could release one, wait an hour, and release the other. That basically cut in half that surge pulse.
Or if it's a stormy day, we wouldn't be putting GWS water in the river. We'd be using regular, normal river water.
Exactly.
And so then the financial impact kind of goes away.
Okay.
You said ask JJ for.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. JJ, maybe you can help us get a copy of that lease so we can take a look at it from the Riverview.
Absolutely. We can.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. JJ Jimenez, for your presentation. And we look forward to hearing from you again.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone.
Mark and Bill. Okay, let's move on to the auto shooting area presentation.
Yes, this one is the update on the former private shooting areas, and Lisa Haney will give an update on this one.
Hi, good afternoon, Chair and committee members. Oh, thank you. I think you're already familiar with this project. I'm here just to give you an update and status of how we're going to move forward. Slide, please. Okay. First and foremost, I believe the board requested that staff and legal submit a letter to the executive director of DTSC stating that we disagree with their finding that the area is not contiguous and therefore unable to move forward with the CAMU approach to remediation. I'm happy to state to the committee that Jeremy successfully submitted that letter. It was received and confirmed.
Boy.
That has been issued. In addition, DTSC staff have seen the letter and they have reached out to us and asked to resume speaking with one another to find a pathway forward. So we do have a meeting set up on 16th. And the legal definition of that. And Jeremy will be there in support of us and we're appreciative. But just a reminder, we have these two locations out in this area. The former clay target range is an area I know that you guys are interested in possibly developing. And so the cleanup, full cleanup of that area is important in our approach, and we are hoping to move that over to the Pigeon Hill area for a single containment, CAMU containment, and also for future planning, the active area of shooting range, if ever that needed to be remediated, we could then incorporate that as well into the Pigeon Hill area. And the reason that we think that we should be able to move forward with a single CAMU approach is, as you see outlined in yellow, that is our boundary outline. That full area is contiguous in our mind. I think DTSC thinks contiguous means next to each other. So this is the conversation that we will have on August 16th, is to understand the definition of contiguous.
Oh. If I can, could you ask no questions? Did you have any questions on this? Could you circle the Prado area shooting range where we're cleaning up versus where the
actual range?
Okay.
Where was that? Yeah, wasn't it? I know where it was at for our own edification.
So this is one area of identified cleanup, and so is this. So we have two areas of identified needed remediation that we have willingly come to the table and voluntarily said we would clean up. The active site is right here. We don't expect to have to clean that up or need to clean that up for a very long time in the future. We're just planning ahead.
That's the act. And where's the headquarters at? The field headquarters? Just so I can have a train association.
Mind you, might
need to where the 14 is, where the 14980.
Right,
the 14
okay,
is there.
The shooting range is up right there.
The bays are
on
the
Hoggy?
Yes.
Yeah. And then that's
behind. Okay, right.
That's where we're
looking. And is the property down below next to Corona, is that part of this also? I thought that was a bomb as well. Off of that cliff road. What's the road there that goes through Norco and Corona?
Yeah, yes.
There was a third
Bluff Road. Yeah, Bluff Road. Isn't there a property also part of this that's over there?
There was a third area that was evaluated and found not to be remediation.
Oh,
that was down below. That was down, I think, by the river.
Okay.
But this is that 20-acre site, Director Sheldon. It goes along here.
Okay.
It was just a portion of that.
Right. So that's part of what we're talking about right there.
It's this blue area.
That is the area, right.
That is the area. That requires a remediation. We're saying we're going to take this, put it over here.
And the blue is just, you just colored it blue. It's not water.
Correct. It's just to show the second area.
It's the contaminated
area. No, you know how good my eyes are.
It's the contaminated area.
I like using blue for
we didn't want to use red, but it's too alarming.
Red.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for everyone at that answer where it's at. And then so are these parcels, are there separate legal parcels in there? Or are they, what, maybe I should be asking those questions.
On the former clay shooting range or
within that boundary.
Yes, they're different parcels. Yes. That is not one.
And they're all owned by the district.
Yes.
Okay.
And within those
Okay. So we could do a long line adjustment and eliminate those little parcels and combine them together, make it, I mean, it's just really a form over substance.
In theory.
Yeah. Well, parcels is not the key term. And DTSC has actually made that same point. They've said, well, you know, these are separate parcels. They're not next to each other. It's like, okay, parcels is not used in the regulatory language. It's really property, right? It's a continuous property. It's a continuous property. So we're just going to have to get them past the whole parcel concept because I don't think it's the right term.
Thank you for the correction. That is a big difference. That makes a lot of sense here. People as a parcel are getting to be formal. We're solid skills. We own everything.
One observation here. If it weren't for the stigma, we should rename Pigeon Hill Boot Hill.
Yeah.
It does look like a boot. It's
like a mini boot.
Like a taxi. Yeah. Like a AR-15 kind of reverse there.
It's not meant to be a Rorschach.
Yeah, no, let's go around. All right. So, Jeremy, any other comments you want to contribute? I mean, nothing.
Just real briefly. I mean, I think things are.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, things are on track. We've got a meeting with DTSC. Looks like on the 16th. Received some correspondence with them that was pretty positive. A positive email from the legal counsel. Opened rolling up our sleeves. So you know. I'm hopeful that we'll be able to work something out.
Good work, everyone, on getting that. We didn't have to go through the long, expensive battle.
And in the meantime, I might add, we did put our consultant on hold. So there's no work being done. Until we figure out the contiguous
definition,
thank you. We thought we needed to resolve that issue first and then start again so that we weren't spending any money and then finding out that the work that we did was done.
How long will their scope take?
No need to please. The scope of
did it like that.
It's a fair, I mean, the next step where we're at, and I think that was approved, is to complete the RAP, remedial action plan. Along with that was the CEQA. So putting that together, we're probably looking 8 months, I would guess, at once we resolve this issue. The other issue that will need to be resolved after we get through with the contiguous definition is what the haul routes are going to be. So we have to determine the haul routes. We have to get the CEQA done and complete the RAP before we can actually start a project.
But this update, it's just to let you know that we're starting conversations again. We haven't resolved anything yet.
Right.
Right. So we'll have to come with another update and let you know how that meeting went and whether or not we found a resolution and a way to move forward. We also had a meeting with staff from Assemblyman Treetop, where Mike was able to present this presentation and our dilemma to staff and gain support. So if the meeting does not go in our favor on the 16th and we need political support to move this forward, we have that teed up and ready to go for that ask.
We felt it was important since we carbon copied or CC'd the assemblyman on the letter that we sent to DTSC, the rather threatening letter, that we informed his staff as to what the issue was so that it can be relayed then to the member. And he has full knowledge. And we did say, I mentioned to staff also, that where we may use the assemblyman's help is if we come to loggerheads with ETSC over this definition, then we would ask the assemblyman for his help in either setting up his staff said that the assemblyman actually prefers face-to-face meetings. So we'd go up to Sacramento along with him and go into DTSC's office or wait until he's, depending on where the meeting was in district, and then had the meeting with him as well.
Can we line up someone in the majority as well?
I'm sure we could. Yes, we haven't approached. We only CC'd Kemp because he's on the committee. He's on is directly related to toxic substances, and so we figure we play that in first. Plus, he knows the district, obviously.
I think he's gotten a few bills passed and signed so far.
Yeah. So,
but we should do what you said.
If we need to line up someone, obviously, we could
we should work to find this.
And I think I just want to thank Jeremy for doing a great job of finding other cases where you have been fine on this property and having a legal basis to move forward and come to the table with that. So I'm looking forward to that discussion. And just thank you, Jeremy, and for the support.
Thanks for saying so.
Yeah, property's completely different than parcel. I agree. Absolutely. So thank you for all your hard work and staff, Bruce, and everyone for all you've done and getting in. We'll expect you to bring back positive results next time you hear from me.
We have the same expectation.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And so we'll move on to leases, permits, licenses.
Yes, and for this item, it's an informational item. We're going to have our property manager, Mr. Daniel Park, present the quarterly report on leases and permits.
Thanks, Bruce. Chair Sheldon and members of the board. The district has 16 leases and 20 licenses and permits under 933 acres of land. Second quarter reflects a decrease of 15% year over year. This decrease was due to last year's rent report reflecting early July 2022 rent from North American Recycling and Crushing and Micro Hog Shooting Enterprises. The early second quarter base rent for Biafra Park. And lastly, it included the rent from the district's former lessee, Sunny Slope Tree Farm. This decrease was offset by an increase in gross receipts rent in the second quarter from Corona Recreation and the early reporting of July rent this year from NSN Dollar. There are two lease renewals in the second and the third quarter, the Rahaga Pheasant lease and the NSN Golf lease. Both leases expire on September 30th. All lessees and licensees are in full compliance with the terms of their agreements. And finally, there was one license issued in the second quarter. In June, a contractor for OCTA was issued a short-term license. This was for excavation of trenches under the 91 Freeway under the Tustin Avenue overpass. See below verify utility elevations for OCTA's bridge widening project. And the license fee of $1,148 was collected at that time.
I have a question. I know what Corona Recreation had discussed having a sub licensee or sub tenant. Did that, and whatever happened to that?
Didn't happen.
Because of?
There were some constraints on the property, but there was one tenant, Asplund, ended up going elsewhere, finding another property. I know that Doug was looking for someone else, but the date has come back with another subtenant.
Maybe
he does have it. He does have it allowed in his amendment. Oh, yeah, I believe it was approved by the board. Not a specific use.
Maybe he and Mr. Hefner can collaborate together to come up with something. Mr. Hefner has a lot of users that are interested in that kind of problem.
I just want to make this just going to highlight real quick that NSN Golf at the Islands is expiring at the end of September, and staff intends and at NSN's request, they're interested in renewing the lease. They're asking for a 5-year lease. Our leases typically have some termination clause, so it's not necessarily a strict 5-year commitment, but I would anticipate bringing back a renewal for that.
So which property was that?
NSM, that's the Islands Golf.
Yeah, I know they've indicated a desire to maybe double deck the pad because they're so busy. So
that's a good problem.
Yeah, they have to get out in the city.
So, the problem is that it would probably require a substantial investment on there.
Right.
Since that tier is built on rubble. I mean, it's literally rubble. Minor detail.
That concludes that presentation.
We don't have, thank you very much. Thank you. We don't have the information agendized. Are there any director comments or reports?
There's the two from consent.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you for correcting me. You're right. Thank you. The two consent
of course
agendized. I would appreciate that. And director comments, reports. Great. The general manager reports.
I'd like to welcome Director Yo back. That is my report.
Great. Very forward, Jerry.